Good morning. Thank you. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this Sunday, we are having a little bit of a different focus in the season of creation and with a project that CLWR is taking on. That's Canadian Lutheran World Relief, an organization who provides support for global communities and is in partnership with the Lutheran World Federation. It is called the Friends of Creation Project, and churches across Canada are lifting this up. So this Sunday is Water is Life, and I thought this is a good continuation from we did an Indigenous Sunday on water. Water is life, so this takes us out global. It focuses around the Lake Chad region in Africa, where disrupted rainfall and the shrinking lake threaten both health and livelihoods. And this project helps to restore access to safe, sustainable water sources. Now, on another note, another reason to engage this is that according to a survey, a 2023 survey across Canadian denominations, over 90% of Christians ages 18 to 40 said that they were worried about climate change. Can you hear? Is this? It's a little, yeah, it's seeming a little low to me now. So 18-year-olds, 90% said they are worried about climate change and nature loss. And 60% were quite and seriously worried. And 78% said it's impacting their mental health. And 92% said that they believe that creation care is essential, an essential act of discipleship and the church's mission. So that is part of the reason we do this. We have a hymn today. We have lots of things going on today. It's a great Sunday. We're going to start with a lovely gathering hymn called Come All You People. It's 819. For the children in the congregation, there are some rhythm instruments set up on the front to pew. You're invited to come up and play along as the congregation sings. Hymn 819, please rise.
Just to give some context to this hymn that you probably haven't done before, this is from Tanzania, but we're going to sing it in English this morning. Let's not start with the instruments right away. Let's learn the hymn first, okay? And then we'll join in with the instruments once we know the congregation is really going and warmed up. But I think we want to let the congregation warm up first. It's got a really nice rhythm, and I'm going to sing it for you.
Come all you people,
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God. You'll find that on page 213. Let us pray. God of the waters, we lift up the communities in the Lake Chad Basin, where rain is uncertain and both drought and flood bring hardship. Be near to those who walk for hours to find clean water. Protect women and girls who carry this daily weight. Bless the hands restoring the land with trees, tools, and care. May small actions lead to lasting change. Guide us in this challenge to honor your creation and uplift our neighbors. Amen. Children, we'll gather here for the children's message. If you can just put those rhythm instruments under the seat, it'd be too tempting to tap away. So resources for this service are from CLWR, and they're for the liturgy, the service, some of the children's message, and some of the sermon as well, just as a disclaimer. So here we go. When there are good resources, you use them. Here we go. Have you ever seen a hippo? Have you been to Africa? Probably not. Have you been to a zoo? Yeah, sometimes they're there, not in their natural habitat. They are very big animals, aren't they? They live in the water and they love to swim. Even though they don't look like fish, hippos need water to keep their skin cool and safe from the hot sun. During the day, they float in the rivers and the lakes, and at night, they walk along the shore to eat grass. Hippos live in places like Africa where there are wide rivers and warm weather. some more hippo pictures. But something is changing. Some of the rivers and lakes are shrinking. There's less rain, and the water is harder to find. When water disappears, it's not just the hippos who are in trouble. People need water too, to drink, to cook, to grow food, and to stay clean. And in some places, children walk a long way every day to find water, and sometimes they don't find much or enough. But there is hope. That's a good word, hope. People who love God's world are planting trees to keep the water in the ground. They're fixing broken wells, and they're helping the land to stay strong. They're making sure that animals like hippos, and people too, can have the water they need. God made the rivers. God made the hippos. God made each of you and all of us. And God asks us to take care of the water and each other. I wonder, how can we help care for the water we have that's near to us? Should we say a prayer? Yeah. Want to put your hands together? Thank you. Dear God, thank you for water to drink, to wash, to play. Thank you for hippos who swim and splash all day. Help us take care of rivers and trees. Help us share water with all those who need. Amen. Now stay here for a minute, children. And I am just going to grab these over here. This Sunday, confirmation is starting up, and we have our first class since pre-pandemic. Some churches are bubbling up with some good news like this. So the congregation gives a Bible to the confirmants, so I'm just gonna have them come up and get their Bible. You don't have to say anything or do anything. And after that, we're gonna go down to the community hall where Sunday school and confirmation will happen. So Gabrielle, come get your Bible. Izzy and Skylar. Yep. There you go. You're welcome. There you go. Thanks. Yes, children, follow Pastor Sebastian there. Yes.
Thank you. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet, who is a Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Are not the Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded to you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he has said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant. Word of God, word of life.
We will sing together now a song called Earth is Full of Wit and Wisdom. You'll recognize the tune, and the lyrics are revamped and new for this. It's found on page 4 of your guide to worship. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to John. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to a city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. "But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty." Water is life. We know that, on average, a human can only survive without water for about 3 days. In the Lake Chad Basin, where communities rely on this precious resource for everything from drinking and cooking to farming and fishing, survival is precarious as water in the region becomes more scarce and harder to access. The Lake Chad area once supported millions of people with its rich water resources, but the lake has shrunk by 90% since the 1960s, primarily due to climate change, unsustainable water use, and deforestation. As the lake recedes, many families struggle to find enough water for daily use, whether it's for crops or livestock or personal consumption. As mentioned, women and girls, children in particular, bear the brunt of this burden, as they are traditionally responsible for fetching water, often traveling long distances in dangerous conditions. This puts them at risk for gender-based violence. The lack of clean water means not only thirst, but also increased disease, as families are forced to drink from contaminated sources. Livelihoods connected to water, such as fishing and farming, are also directly impacted, making life increasingly precarious. Water is life. In a resolution adopted by the United Nations, it declares that the right to safe and clean drinking water and sanitation is a human right that is essential for the full enjoyment of life and all human rights, and that all states and international organizations need to provide financial resources and capacity building and technology transfers through assistance and cooperation, international assistance and cooperation, in particular to developing countries, in order to scale up efforts to provide safe, clean, accessible, and affordable drinking water and sanitation for all. And thirdly, the UN welcomes the decision by the Human Rights Council to request an independent expert on human rights obligations related to access of safe water and sanitation to submit an annual report on the progress and the needs. In short, water is life, and everyone has the right to safe, clean drinking water. And we all have the duty to ensure that all our siblings have access to it. As we dig into our gospel this morning, we encounter a Samaritan woman who comes to the well in the heat of the day and meets a stranger. Not only a stranger, but a Jew. someone with whom she had nothing in common, someone with whom society said she was not to associate, someone who had no reason to speak to her and yet asks her for a drink. What business is it of hers that he is thirsty? What business is it of his to offer her life? The woman comes to the well at midday to avoid the ridicule and the judgment of her peers. She is seen as less than, unworthy, and an outcast. To avoid those who would shame her, she waits until no one else is likely to be at the well and makes that long, hot, burdensome walk then. Her plan is somewhat foiled in that she isn't alone and finds herself in the company of a Jewish man. Jesus comes to the well not physically thirsty. He doesn't need the Samaritan woman to fetch him water. He uses this request to engage her in conversation. He speaks first, as would be custom, but that is where the tradition ends. She is surprised by and perhaps leery of his question. After all, he is a man and a Jew, breaking all the social protocols and norms by simply speaking to her. But she can't resist entering into the conversation. Isn't that just like Jesus opening the door and inviting us to enter, then waiting for us to engage? Jesus has something to share with this woman. He isn't simply offering to fill her physical need for water. He's offering her so much more. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. We know this to be our truth as Christians. We have each been immersed in the water through our baptism. We have been given the gift of the living water Jesus speaks of in this passage. So what does it mean for us that we have been blessed with a spring of water gushing up to eternal life? First and foremost, we have been given the gift of grace. We don't have to keep returning to a source of water to do the work of hauling up a bucket. Rather, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit offers us that renewal, that refreshment, that nourishment, without strings and without us having to earn it. Secondly, we think of water gushing up. We don't think of a tap that can be turned on or off at will. Rather, this source of water is unstoppable, abundant, and overflowing. The grace that has been poured into us is much more than we need, more than we can contain. So what do we do with it? As Christ bearers, all we are being asked to do is allow that water gushing up within us to overflow and fill others. We do this when we care for our family and friends and the people we encounter day by day. We know how to care for our waterways. We don't always do it. Some people engage in beach cleanups or creeks or rivers, and we're becoming more aware of microplastics, and we try to conserve our water at home by turning off the taps, and we fix leaks. These are the things we've been learning for years. But how can we affect water justice and climate care in places so far away and some nearer than we care to admit? How can our overflow fill Lake Chad and other areas and the people of that area? Through this Friends of Creation project through Canadian Lutheran World Relief, we are offered an opportunity to increase our awareness and to pour our overflow to those who need it by the restoration of access to water and reversing some of these climate change trends in a number of ways. First, we can work with nature to be part of the solution. The project is using nature-based solutions like planting native trees that help keep water in the soil and stop erosion. It also supports communities to use simple ways to save and protect water, like building small basins to hold rainwater and digging irrigation channels. These systems help farmers use water more wisely and grow more food and rely less on unpredictable rain. Second, the project is helping to fix local irrigation systems, repair small water structures, and build mini dikes to stop flooding. These changes help make sure water is still available during the dry season and helps communities prepare for a changing climate. In addition to planting new trees, the project is also supporting assisted forest regeneration, helping native trees and shrubs grow back in place where the land is worn out and tired. Their deep roots protect the soil from being washed away. They slow down rainwater and help the ground soak up and hold on to more water. Alongside this, native trees like moringa and acacia and neem and shea are being planted. And these trees give long-term benefits like food and income and better soil to the people who live there. By using the grace-filled gifts we have been given to help others, we continue to allow our cups to be filled to overflowing by God, and also fill others in turn. The best part of all of this is the amazing abundance God continues to pour out on us. This is perhaps what hope looks like. It looks like water returning to dry land, like trees taking root along the banks of the river, like a Samaritan woman told that she is worthy of life that overflows. The living water Christ offers is for all people. As we respond to that gift by letting it overflow into acts of justice and love, we take part in God's vision for a world where no one thirsts. Scott, do you want to introduce this hymn or no? Okay, so we have a hymn from the Mennonite hymnal. It's called O Healing Rivers, and you'll find that on page 5 for the hymn of the day. The lower voices are going to sing it once through, so we get to feel it's not that difficult, but we'll listen before engaging.
Wash the blood
We continue with the Apostles' Creed, and you'll find that on page 217. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Renewed in God's everlasting grace, let us pray for the church, the world, and all creation, responding to God of grace with "Your mercy is great." O God of the church, you quench thirst with the water of life. Draw us into the gift of faith passed down from generation to generation. Remind your people that faith the size of a mustard seed is enough. God of grace, your mercy is great. O God of creation, you nourish the earth with water, grace, and mercy. Renew depleted water sources around Lake Chad. Give all, both near and far, access to clean water. Teach us to act boldly on behalf of the dignity of others. God of grace, your mercy is great. God of all nations and communities, you govern and guard the world. Give leaders and grassroots people spirited initiative and resourcefulness to right the wrongs of the world by giving all access to safe drinking water. God of grace, your mercy is great. O God of those in need, you care for those who are sick, oppressed, bereaved, lonely, and poor. Come to the help of all in need, especially Kevin and Betty, Annika, Judy, Yvonne, Jeanette, and Megan, Henry, Maureen, and John. Help us to trust that you will come to us at the right time. God of grace, your mercy is great. O God of this congregation, you nurture our faith. Thank you for those of all ages who teach and lead and learn in this congregation and beyond. Give growth to the seeds of faith watered by the faithful examples of baptismal living. Especially we pray for our confirmands as they open their hearts and minds to the Lord. God of grace, your mercy is great. God of ages past, thank you for the witness of those who have died in faith. May the faith of those who now rest in your merciful arms shape our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. God of grace, your mercy is great. We offer our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's share God's peace with each other. Our offering hymn is a baptismal hymn, 455, Crashing Waters of Creation. We only sing verses 1 and 4. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory both now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for a few announcements. So we have an Out of the Cold Thanksgiving project with, it started, the impetus was a donor coming forward and connecting with the Out of the Cold. So for this week and up to Thanksgiving Sunday next week, we're going to collect some canned goods in the narthex. You don't have to obviously bring any. If you'd prefer to give a monetary donation, you're welcome to do so, but obviously you don't have to. If you do want to give that, you donate to the church and designate it to Out of the Cold, and that's how you get a tax receipt. I think next week we might put some of the canned goods on display, but we'll see. Another announcement would be that, hey, we're on to our third workshop about value-driven discipleship and how we live our lives out as God's people in this church. So come after worship. There's lunch. We have lots of chili and some vegetables and some dessert. Stay for a little, if you can only stay for a little, or come for the whole thing. You do what works for you. But this is how we do this grassrooting thing, where we hear your voices, and together we chart our path forward. Kim has an announcement.
Over this summer, our music director, Scott Kinnar, has arranged a diverse group of concerts. We've had a wide range of acts, and today is the last of these St. Matthew's sponsored concerts that's happening. It's the Full House Brass Band. It's happening this afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's called the Treble Makers. Scott's going to be playing the organ. It's called a whimsical look at how composers of Rossini and Gershwin poke fun at musicians and their audience. So I think it will prove to be an entertaining time. You can get tickets from Scott if you do find that you would like to come this afternoon. I know it's a busy day, as Carrie said, but if you do want to come, Scott does have some tickets. They're $30 a piece. If you come to the door, they'll also be available by either credit card or cash. Hope you can make it. Thank you.
I'll invite you to stand for God's blessing. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and with mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, 843.
Thank you.
live by the Spirit. Thanks be to God. Now, before the postlude, we're going to say grace together so you can just go down and dig in, okay? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen.